On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I look back on the success of the NBA bubble. Plus, we continue our player recap series, this time touching on Kevin Durant. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Of course, I am your host, Josh Bass. Joining me, as always, my man, Marcus Barahal, fresh off a trip to see a little nature up in Maine. We both were on big nature-focused trips, but now we're back in the city and on the grind podcasting. Marcus, do you feel refreshed, like you just had the best offseason of your life and lost? Or you gained only 15 pounds of pure muscle?
Oh, of course. Yeah. And none of it is pure fat from just like all of the like lobster and things that I ate over last week. No, yeah, it was great. Feel refreshed. Feel like LeBron after his like 2 week vacation, whenever that was with the Cavs. I feel ready for this stretch run with you, Josh, here as we aren't really in a stretch run at all. We're actually in the off season because the finals just ended.
Yeah. The finals ended, which is pretty crazy. Because like the bubble itself feels like such a whole ordeal almost, and just like length because of all the time leading up to it and like just the debate on whether it would work or not. I think it was clearly a success. And then like I kind of the regular season tune-up games kind of blend in with the first round of the playoffs for me. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like just a long bubble time.
Yeah, especially like at the very beginning, remember it was like 8 games in a day, like games starting at like noon on the East Coast, which if you're like a West Coast person, that's like as soon as you wake up, there's just like basketball basically until you go to sleep, which was nice for a bit because we hadn't had it in a while. And then it was definitely a lot at a certain point where I was like, okay, this is it's a little tough to keep track of, but I'm sure like a week or so from now, I'm going to be like, oh, I haven't seen basketball in so long. So, you know, I appreciate what they were able to pull off, like you said, a crazy accomplishment, given no positive COVID tests, anything like that. They got all the games through and completed successfully. So yeah, hats off to the entire league and everyone who was behind it.
Yeah, for sure. I think we definitely are going to miss that because I've soured a lot on football. Not a big baseball guy. Big tennis guy, but the French Open just ended, so now I have to wait a few months for the Aussie.
You're a big tennis guy?
Yeah.
I feel like I did know that, because you're good at ping pong, you're good at a Kadima, which is somewhat related.
But anything racket-based, I'm very great hand-eye coordination.
Fantastic touch.
Yeah, exactly. Any impressions from the finals? I think, like, kind of ended on a bit of an anticlimactic note, kind of game 6 as a whole, besides Dwight hitting the 3 at the very end. But like just a really interesting series. So curious to hear your thoughts on it and, you know, kind of how things shook out with the Lakers taking down the Heat in 6 games.
Yeah. I mean, great for the Lakers and for LeBron James, who got his 4th finals MVP. The only guy who has that many is Michael Jordan, who has 6. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't too surprised by the end result. I was surprised, though, that the Heat were able to take it to 6 games. I thought coming into the series, I thought it would probably go 5. And then once they had those injuries in game 1, I was thinking sweep. But Jimmy Butler did a phenomenal job, really, like, established himself. Because I remember a few years ago, it was kind of like him, Paul George, Gordon Hayward as kind of those, like, wings who we're not quite at like the LeBron KD level, but we're like maybe that next step down, and like which of them is going to kind of like break out, who's going to fall back, blah, blah, blah. And like Gordon Hayward obviously derailed because of injuries. Paul George has kind of flamed out the last few years, and Butler had kind of been around, but hadn't really like broken through or like had a real moment, I don't think, in the playoffs, especially because he had kind of been saddled with some bad teams. He maybe could have had something in Philly if that Kawhi shot hadn't gone down, but to see him like break through and kind of, I don't know, who knows what like that team will look like next year and if they'll make it back that far, or even to the conference finals, the second round, or who knows what like the Heat are going to look like in the next few years, if they add a star or anything like that. But it was just nice to see Jimmy Butler break through, a guy who has like worked really hard for it and who has kind of, like I said, like just kind of been around for a while, been a personality for a while, but never really had like that one defining moment to his career. Even a guy like Damian Lillard, who hasn't made a finals, has like big moments. There's other guys who are kind of on that like next level down from those elite guys who all kind of have big moments, but Jimmy didn't really have one. So good to see him break through. Those games 3 and 5 were like phenomenal that he delivered. So my biggest takeaway, really impressed with Jimmy Butler. Happy for LeBron to kind of move into it. It's really just him and Jordan now on that finals MVP list. And yeah, what were your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, I think it is really interesting kind of on your Jimmy Butler point, because he's been on some really good teams, but he's never really had kind of that moment like that. Because when you think about kind of how he got his career started, I think he was on that Bulls team that first year where D Rose tore his ACL. So obviously, as Jimmy Butler was ascending, Rose was kind of very hit or miss and nowhere near the MVP that he had been. And the Bulls were always a good team, but never like a huge threat. So, and then he kind of bounces around in Minnesota and Philly, and he never had a reputation as someone that would shrink in the moment. He always was thought of as like a big game type player, but never really had those moments to back it up.
Yeah.
Looking at what he did with the Heat team, like, you know, you could say he's 1A or 1B with Bam Adebayo, but like, there's not many teams that even get to the finals without someone who's, considered a definitive top 10 guy. And you could definitely say that, I mean, no one was saying Jimmy Butler was a definitive top 10 guy before this.
No.
Maybe now he might be on like 9 or 10, but he's not going to be kind of in the like middle of that 5, 6, 7 range. He's certainly not a shoe-in. So it's just crazy how much he raised his like reputation. And is he going to be considered moving forward? You know, like, can he get better from this? Because he had a phenomenal season, but he's 31. He's someone that, as we all very well know, has a ton of wear and tear on him from, you know, being a 4-year college player at Marquette. Or 4-year college player total, because he transferred from junior college to Marquette, and then just being on a Tibbs coach team for a long time, has a ton of miles on him. So like, can he elevate his game, considering he's not a phenomenal shooter, but like, he's such a valuable player either way. The Heat have a really bright future, especially considering some of the contracts that they had given out to guys like, you know, Olynyk and James Johnson and even Dragic before kind of this recent playoff stretch and good season he had. Was thought to be kind of a poor value contract. Waiters, of course.
Our guy Tyler Johnson too.
Yeah, Tyler Johnson also net great. It just goes to show that if you have a couple of really key draft picks, like they did with Tyler Hero and Bam, and hitting on those guys in the late lottery, having undrafted guys like Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn be huge boons to their team, you can change things around really quickly. And I think the Nets are also evidenced by that. And I think from the Lakers standpoint, you know, LeBron, really happy for him that he got it done. AD, I think, proved a lot of people not wrong, but just showed that he can be a winning player and also a dominant defensive force in addition to being a really great offensive player. And then a lot of the Lakers guys that, you know, have been cast aside in recent years, like a Rondo, a Waiters, even though Waiters didn't play much, just like being able to be on a winning team. And you know, KCP, a guy that gets a lot of flack, showing that these guys can win. A lot of it goes to LeBron and also Frank Vogel for, you know, his ability to steer the ship and do a good job in a situation that definitely wasn't a slam dunk.
Yeah, and that's a great point about, like, all those Lakers guys. And then just going back to your thing about Jimmy Butler, like, he wasn't considered a top 10 guy before this. He might still not be, to your point. And, like, just looking back at all the teams he was on, this was really the first team that you could say was like his team. Like, you could say him or Bam as the best player on the team, but I think personality wise, they definitely took after Butler. Like, before this, he had the Philly team where it was kind of Embiid and Simmons. That's more their team. Those Wolves teams maybe were going to be, that was going to be his team, but then, you know, he got injured and things kind of went south pretty quickly. I think he wanted it to be his team, but that didn't work out. And then with the Bulls, he was kind of always in Rose's shadow. So kind of crazy to see like such a late bloomer develop like this. He was the most improved player in 2015. So I think he clearly has that work ethic. And if there's anyone who's going to get better at age 31, I think it's a guy like him who kind of came onto the scene a little bit later than someone who you would think of as like the best guy on a finals team would. I think he definitely could get better. And then I think the team as a whole, the Heat, could get better just based on free agency in 2021. I mean, we'll see who they wind up getting, but this was certainly like a great recruiting pitch, you know, that certainly worked out for the Nets, like showing how competitive you can be when you're kind of strapped cap wise and you don't have many options. The Heat did that to like an even higher level, reaching the finals with those constraints on that team. So if a guy like Giannis or who knows wants to go there, like they clearly have a foundation set up. Heat culture, as much as it's like sort of mocked at this point, is somewhat real. And like a lot of guys have benefited from it. And yeah, I mean, I'm really curious to see what their team looks like in the next year or two, because they could really change things. And I think even if they don't, they have a nice core in place.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm hoping to get in shape also. I could definitely drop 20 pounds. So I'm hoping the Heat sign me to a 10-day just to be part of their famous regimen. It's almost like, and you know, we're gonna kind of give a little season preview, I guess, for KD. Not as much a year in review because there's no year to review, but it's almost interesting. It's a bit of a parallel. Like any of these top guys that join the Heat now, I guess it's unfair because, you know, it's unfair to compare them to the Warriors because they're not the defending champions. And they lost, but they were complete underdogs to even get there in the first place. But is there any kind of parallel that we can make for a star that goes to the Heat, you know, in this offseason or a following one, similar to what KD did with going to the Warriors after they lost in the finals?
That's a good question. I don't think it's similar to that. I think it's more close, even though he was traded, to when Kawhi joined the Raptors, where it's kind of like, they have this team in place and it's like a really good team. They probably can't get over that hump and win a championship as currently constituted. And this Heat team made it farther than the Raptors had before Kawhi. But even still, I think like going into next year, I saw the odds. They were not in like the top three or four teams that are like favored to win the title. So certainly they're not like projected to do that. I think a guy who goes there wouldn't really catch that kind of flack that KD did. And it wasn't just that KD joined like the 73-win Warriors. I think it was also specifically that he lost to them, which could come into play if you're talking about Giannis, considering that the Heat like completely dismantled the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. So maybe that comes into play for Giannis just because, similar to the KD thing, like it's the team that he just lost to. But I think if it were another star, like if somehow like Bradley Beal got traded there or whoever, name a star who's not Giannis, I think it would be different. I think it would be more like Kawhi with the Raptors.
Yeah, I can't wait for all the vitriol that Marcus Smart gets in the Heat.
Is that going to happen?
I can see that. I'm telling you. He just like, he just feels like such a Heat player.
That, yeah, he definitely has like that mentality. I think that was like a Celtics player, which, I mean, he's on there now, but they don't really have anyone else like that besides maybe Jaylen Brown, but. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, those prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Break through your wall. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. You can put it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket just to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They've got 3 delicious flavors. You've got peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. My goodness. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine, and the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Once again, that's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Okay, so let's get into Kevin Durant a bit. Marcus, what can we expect from him next season? What should we know about KD going into this offseason, ultimately the 2021 season?
This series we've been doing has been like looking back at the past season, but like you said, KD obviously didn't play any games, but he's just like such a big name, such an important player that I did feel like we kind of had to talk about him. And just to kind of like run down how great he was before this injury, like 10-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champion and finals MVP, that list of guys who have won multiple finals MVPs, it's only 12 guys in NBA history. And the amount of guys who've won back-to-back finals MVPs like KD did, there's only 5 other guys. It's Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kobe Bryant, and then Kevin Durant also in 17-18. So that's the kind of player we were talking about, a guy who's maybe like top 15 all-time, maybe top 10, was pushing for that before the injury. And so going forward, it's really hard to project just because it is such a devastating injury and he is such a uniquely talented player that really no one has had this injury who is like on KD's level. You know, Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles, but he was much closer to the end of his career than KD was at the time of his injury. So a little hard to compare on that front. Some other guys who've had this injury, DeMarcus Cousins, who definitely has looked worse, but also some of that could be blamed on just kind of the NBA going smaller in general. So it's a little hard to separate, you know, what variables the cause there. Rudy Gay, who I think has kind of returned pretty close to where he was before his injury. Wesley Matthews, who's a little bit worse, but is kind of still rotation player, definitely not the like awesome two-way guy he was in Portland, but still a valuable contributor. Elton Brand, who was okay after his Achilles injury, definitely a little bit worse. And there's a quote from him about his game after that injury where he said, "I didn't have the same explosiveness that I had. I regained and then I relost it. I didn't have it. I had to change my game a little bit where I jumped off 2 feet and I was a little bit slower." So for KD, just like thinking about it from that perspective, maybe he's a little bit slowed down, but just given how huge he is and how good of a shooter he is, that shouldn't be too much of an issue for him. You know, his game wasn't necessarily reliant on speed to begin with. It was more about his length and kind of his unique skill set for that length. And then one more comparison I wanted to bring up that I think is maybe one of the more relevant just in terms of a player who's as talented at what they do as Kevin Durant is, and that's Breonna Stewart from the WNBA on the Seattle Storm. She was absolutely dominant 2 years ago and then tore her Achilles. She was, she's 26 years old now, so a few years younger than KD, but she came back. I don't know if you saw, Josh, but she just won finals MVP for the Storm. She put up some huge numbers. I think she had a 37-point game in one of those games in the finals. So she clearly came back at 100%, and that's the most recent example of kind of a star player going down with this injury. So that definitely gives you hope. It's been a long time since he suffered this injury. So he's had plenty of time to recover, plenty of time to get healthy. It's just a matter, I think, of where his athleticism will be going forward. But what do you think that Nets fans can expect from KD this year? Do you think it's sort of like wait and see year and maybe like the following season is when we should really lock in? Or do you think, given how much time he had off, like things should be ready to go full speed right now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can expect him to hit the ground running kind of and what he's going to be at full form. Like once he does recover, whether that's an all-star, whether that's a top 10 level player, whether that's the exact same as he was before, whatever that's going to be, I don't think you can expect that. But over the course of the season, and I think one thing that we're going to have run into is that we don't know how long the regular season is going to be. Is it going to be 82 games? Is it going to be 50? Is it going to be 65? He's going to obviously, you know, take his time, get some rest. But I think he's going to be a really good player. I mean, to your point, he's not necessarily relying on just athleticism. He's relying on being 7 feet tall,
having a really good handle for his size, being an incredible shooter and just getting to his spot in a smooth way. And none of those things are going to change. Obviously, do you wish he was more athletic or like retained his athleticism? Of course. Is that going to hurt him on defense, both in terms of effort he gives and ability to, you know, recover and guard one-on-one? Absolutely. But I think he's going to be a devastating offensive weapon still. And I think, you know, he's going to be more similar to what we saw in his days kind of on the Thunder, where, you know, or not Thunder, sorry, like late Golden State or maybe even early Golden State years, where his usage isn't going to be as high as it probably was when he was the guy, because there's so many other players that can do things on this Nets team. And I think that's just going to help like reduce the wear and tear and the strain for him, where he doesn't need to go out and shoot 30 times in a game. If he does, it means either two things. One, he was absolutely on fire and like putting up 50 points. Or secondly, something has gone really wrong with the way that the Nets want to play offense. I think you can expect him kind of to be in that 18 to 22 shot range a night and just be really efficient. I don't think that's going to change. I think he's going to have, you know, a true shooting percentage in the low to mid 60s, which is obviously fantastic. And when you look at some of the players that that you mentioned that have, you know, tore their Achilles, Elton Brand was a really, really athletic kind of big man when he was on the Clippers and, you know, becoming a really promising all-star level player for them. Cousins, you know, relies on strength, but also being really, really explosive and quick for his size. Same with Rudy Gay. Like, he had to transition into being more of a shooter complementary player type, as opposed to an ISO jab step, beat your man type guy. So I feel pretty good about KD. He's not going to be the top three guy he was, but he can still very well be a top 10 guy. And I'd be pretty disappointed if he was, you know, far away from that, frankly.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, first of all. And yeah, I mean, we saw like flashes of it, I think, in that 12-minute stretch that he played in game five of the finals before he tore his Achilles, because he was red hot shooting the ball and he made a huge difference, even though, you know, he had kind of a gimpy calf and couldn't really move around. I think we could expect him to move around a little bit better than that, where he's like already half injured, but that's just kind of like, okay, like even if he can't move, he can still go 3 of 3 from three and have like 11 points in 12 minutes. Like, this is a guy who last year in the playoffs, you know, before he got hurt, I think it was 11 games he played, he was averaging 34-5-5 on 41-51-90 shooting. So like, you can take away some athleticism, he's still going to shoot 36, 37, maybe 40% from three. And like, even just having that would be huge for this Nets team. I mean, we saw this year, whether it was Torian Prince, Rhodey Krug, whoever it was at the four, was just like really just struggling for the Nets. And so to have any kind of stability at that position, let alone a guy who has the ceiling of maybe being again, like a top 3 or 5 player in this league next season, like that's going to be huge for this team. And yeah, I think expectations are going to be high, but I think I don't think this team will be disappointing because of KD is what I think it comes down to. Like, he's one of the most consistent players in the league. He's pretty much going to give you like 26 a night every night, and that's not going to deviate too much. Like, I don't anticipate many games next year where he goes for like 45 or 50, but I also don't think there'll be many games where he's only scoring like 10 or 15. So I think he's just going to provide a real stability that the team needs, especially with the new head coach and a whole new offense. Maybe, like, I don't know. KD is just like the ultimate plug him in and just don't worry about him. Like, he's going to go hoop. He's going to go get his points, get his teammates involved, do a little bit of everything kind of on the floor. And so you maybe will see a little bit more shooting, like spot up shooting from him. But I don't know. I think with Kyrie, with Karis, with Spencer, maybe that actually works out, where you can kind of have him off ball a little bit more, get those guys on the ball a little bit more, where they're a lot more effective, especially LeVert and Dinwiddie. And maybe it complements the team better.
Yeah, I think Marcus, like, you make some really good points there. Like, KD is going to be the stabilizing nature for this team. Like, you have a lot of high upside guards, but also really a lot of like combustible things that can happen. Like, even if assuming he's healthy, even if he doesn't come back as good as expected, he's going to be like a top 25 guy, like worst case scenario, but he's going to be a top 25 guy that, to your point, doesn't take anything off the table and is going to be a value add and stabilizer to everyone else because he's opening up passing lanes for the guards because he's just so much better than the guys they had at the four this year. And, you know, even if he can't move as well, he's still 7 feet tall and has a really long wingspan and, you know, is a very smart defender. So he's going to add a lot to them. I think he's going to be the Nets' most consistent player, and he's going to be like just such a massive, massive, massive upgrade to what they have that I'm really excited for this.
I know. I can't wait to watch him. He was like one of my favorite guys to watch before he joined the Nets. And so I'm really excited to see how they utilize him.
Yeah, I think Nash will have a lot of fun with it, which is important. And, you know, this is a important year for the Nets, I think. And KD probably knows that, especially if like Kyrie can stay healthy. Any year that he's staying healthy and LeVert and staying healthy and Dinwiddie, they need to make that count. But also one of the cool things that I just thought about was that you're mentioning KD could be 50, 40, 90 guy, or, you know, obviously has been in the past. The Nets could very well have 3 50, 40, 90 guys on their roster if they retain Joe Harris next year, or guys that could get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not quite the same, but what the Warriors had with like Steph, Clay, and KD, the Nets could replicate that, at least in terms of shooting. If you want to just say Kyrie, Joe Harris, and Kevin Durant, like, I don't know, they'll probably be the best shooting team in the league just with those three guys on the floor and like kind of any two other guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Even DeAndre and Jared Allen won't slow them down.
maybe those two together would slow something down.
Yeah. And I know it's super early and it probably shouldn't even be prognosticating this, but if you had to guess, does KD make an all NBA team next year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say yes. I mean, there were guys this year who were in the conversation, like Chris Middleton. I know just off the top of my head was like right on the bubble, basically. So if you're asking me, like, will KD be better than Chris Middleton next year? I think I'm going to say yes. So I think he does make an all NBA team, even though there'll be improvements from other guys and things like that. More guys coming back, Steph coming back. So maybe that pushes, like, I don't know, Ben Simmons to like a forward spot, or there's all kinds of stuff like that. But I think he'll be good enough to be one of the top 15 guys next year. I hope so, at least. Do you?
I hope so too. I'll give him a third team selection, but he plays like a second team. But because, you know, they're probably resting him and he's missing games, and maybe the counting stats aren't there just because the Nets are so good and blowing everyone out by 25. he's only playing, you know, 28 minutes a night. I'll give him a 13.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, like if you just think like Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, maybe Paul George, who knows, Jimmy Butler, maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of great forwards. Jason Tatum. So we'll see. But I think he'll be one of the six best forwards next year for sure.
Yep. Avdija also.
What?
Avdija.
Oh, sure. I was like, did you cough? I was like, oh, that's the guy.
I was like, oh, you're counting him more as a guard already. I see.
play him anywhere.
Yeah. As always with, you know, where we'd expect to wrap up with a KD pod, Denny Avdija. we always are on topic here at Locked On Nets. Stay tuned for what we have cooking tomorrow. One of the ones I think we're the most excited for, the great and consistent, like his name, Beef Jerky Joe Harris. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. We are it'll be interesting to see all of the machinations that we can think of with Joe Harris, given, you know, obviously his great on-court play, his stoic persona, and of course his free agency situation that's a bit in flux. So we'll talk about all that Beef Jerky Joe goodness tomorrow. And thanks for sticking with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.